Many people in our Western culture would think that Joseph's experience with a dream is a little odd. That's going to do that. Go ahead and turn him down, Fred, and I'll let him sit for a while, and I'll come back. It's kind of a little ambiance effect there, isn't it? Might have to turn them off, yeah. But his dream that he had, I found some research, checked out some things that are happening in the Muslim world, because we have a Bible class that's going through Islam. And it's amazing how many Muslim people are having dreams and visions right now that's bringing them to Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, there's a book, if you're interested in this, if you've been attending this class, let me give you the name of this book. It's very well rated and very fascinating testimonies of what God is doing in the Muslim world, causing people to realize that Jesus is the Christ. And he's 60 to 80% of the Muslim world is illiterate. And he's using dreams and visions to bring them to Christ. It's Dreams and Visions, Is Jesus Awakening the Muslim World? By Tom Doyle. Dreams and Visions, Is Jesus Awakening the Muslim World? By Tom Doyle. It's a collection of testimonies of people who have actually witnessed in their dreams and in their visions that Jesus is the Christ, not knowing how to read, but yet it was revealed to them. It was with Joseph. And the purpose of this is for us to stand in faith. Joseph had to make a stand. His whole life got turned upside down. As I was mentioning with the Muslim brothers and sisters, in their case, they might have to make the ultimate stand, because in their nation and their cultures, they could be executed for leaving Islam and professing faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, the point that I'm seeing in this that I would like to share with you is twofold. I see Joseph as a man of integrity and a man of faith. And I see him as living out his life in the face of many changes and many issues that come up in life, which is normal. And I see him trusting in God and God's promises, which is what we need to do. Change is going to happen. At the Christmas story, everybody's world got turned upside down. No doubt about it. Mary and Joseph had their lives changed. They were a young couple. All they wanted to do was get married, have a nice, quiet life in Nazareth, have babies, and just live. That's what they wanted to do. And God appeared on the scene, and what he had to say was so amazing, so incredible, so out of the ordinary that nobody would believe it. He had to do something to convince them that this was really going to happen. If you and I are going to follow Jesus Christ, there is no way that God is not going to change your plans. No way. You can have an idea of what you think is good, what you think is right. Joseph was a righteous man. He thought this through. He's a good guy. He's a good example of a good father. He really is. Been a great husband, but he was wrong. And God had to come into his life and give him redirection and say, no, this is my will. This is what I want you to do. So God was giving him direction in his life, and everybody is going to need that. God is going to direct us in a way that we need to go. And if we choose, the grace of Jesus Christ is free. It's good to share that, because we're not earning it. You can't buy it. You can't be good enough. There's no way that you can pay for any of your sins, not one of them. But if we choose to follow Jesus Christ, there's a cost. It could be your reputation. It could be your family. It could be your work. It could be any number of things. It could be your friends. I know young people that, you know, if they believe that they are going to stay pure until marriage, I mean, that is like, that's like outer space nowadays. My goodness. I mean, there's some things that we believe and we hear about in the Word of God, you know, and I know that if you want to follow these things and talk to a young person that's actually trying to do that, it is profound. I mean, the challenges that you face. You know, how about if your workplace, even if you offer to pray for someone or to just share that, hey, God loves you, you know, I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to lift you up or something like that. You know, oftentimes that's just like, okay. People don't understand it, and there is a price. There is a price that we pay if we really want to follow and do what God says. God's plans are always good. They're always wonderful. They're always better than our plan. You know, I wonder, like with Mary, when she heard what was going to happen and the hurt that she was having to face, and then her husband wants to divorce her. And by the way, in their culture, it's good to know, because this is different than our culture. But in their culture, she didn't have to move in with him to be his wife. In their culture, it was quite normal that she is already his wife. And legally, they've already married. And they would move in eventually, but at this point, they're already married. It's legal, it's written just like a legal marriage. And what would happen, actually, if Joseph were to die, she would be considered his widow. And so Joseph was doing the best thing that he could think possible in this situation. He was just going to give her a divorce because he didn't want to deal with it. It was too much. He said, I can't do it. I mean, that's a pretty tall order that he's got to face. How is he going to handle this? You know, Mary, like I was saying, had to deal with all of the ridicule, all the issues, all the problems. And then as she gets closer to birth, ladies, I can't imagine this, but you know, if you have to take a ride on a donkey the day before you give birth, and then you get to the place where you have to go and there is no room for you, you're left in a place where animals are there and they're just doing their animal thing, it would be stinky, and I mean, it's just, you know, not the best place for us to be. And then it's cold. And she has to take care of her baby, and how is she going to do that? And then after that, when they go to the temple and they have the dedication ceremony for the baby and they follow the rules that the law told them, this guy comes up, this wonderful prophet comes up, and he blesses the baby, and he says, oh, and because of this baby, a sword is going to pierce your heart. What a thing to tell a young mother. You know, I mean, at some point, I would think Mary's thinking, Lord, is there any other way you can do this? Do you really have to do it like this? And Joseph would be in the same boat because he can't provide for the family. He wants to give everything that he can for his wife, for his child. It's not his child. He has to put up with that ridicule and that insult. He has to you know, endure a journey. He has to have all his life plans change. It's not going to be like he was hoping. It's not going to be like he dreamed. And everything is different and changed now, and yet he has to go along with that. You know, there was a guy I thought about, Moses, going back, because he's kind of an example, thinking of Joseph. And Moses was called by God. There's many people in the Bible, but I'll just mention him. Is that God called him through this burning bush thing, and he goes over and he has it's kind of like a job interview with God. And God talks to him and says, hey, I got this wonderful thing I'm going to do. I'm going to go save the children of Israel, your ancestors. By the way, you know this because you tried to kill one of the guys and you've successfully killed one of the guys that's oppressing him. And Moses is like, yeah, right on, God, go ahead, do it. You're good. Let's make this happen. And then he goes, oh, by the way, I'm sending you. I've hired you to do the job. You're the man. And he's like, no way. This is not me. One, I can't speak. Okay, you got the wrong guy. Two, I got my brother Aaron right here. Why don't you talk to him? Because I know him. I'll back him up. He's good. Use him. God says, no, I'm going to use you. Done, final, finished. Go. And he sends him. He says, I don't have the ability. I can't do it. Now, how many times do we say that in our lives? How many times do we say, I don't have the ability. I can't do it. I can't deal with what you're giving me at this time, Lord. No, can't do it. I don't have the strength. I don't have the emotional capacity. I don't have the ability physically to do it. You know, how many times, and this taught me just a practical way. Let's say somebody comes up and asks you to do something. They ask you to help with something. And they say, hey, can you help me out and do this? Or maybe you know that you should go help that person. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit that's whispering in your ear. You should go help that person do something. And it could be something very mundane, very everyday, but it's been made aware to you that you have this opportunity to help. And you think to yourself, nah, I can't do it. Besides, somebody else will do it. And absolutely, I'll go remind this person that they can go do it. And we think that I might not be able to, but God's saying, yes, you are. And I've given you the opportunity to do it, and I've given you the power and the ability, and I want you to trust me that you're able to do it. And God just keeps coming to us like that. He keeps coming to us, and he keeps opening up the door because he never gives up on us, but he wants to interact. He wants us to live by faith. He wants to put us in positions where we say, uh-uh, not going there, can't do that. And he says, yes, you are, trust me. I've never failed yet, and I never will. I'm God. Trust me. God says, I like being God. I like helping people. Gives me great joy to help people. He actually gets stoked. He gets overjoyed when people trust him. It just makes his day as God. He loves it. And it says in Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants us to trust in him. Here's an example that I'll share with you in closing. It comes from my son, and it's from the holidays here. Tim's with us. He came in last night, and he was late, had to go through the snowstorm. Actually, didn't get a chance to see you. I'm glad you made it through okay. We were worried about you, but glad you're here, Tim. And Tim said he was going to be a little bit late because he had to go rock climbing at a gym. But it was for a good reason. There was a pretty girl you had to go rock climb with. So, yeah, got that. That's good. And, you know, and Matthew, my middle son, wants to go rock climbing when they come out here. Now, that's great. We'll go over to the gym and climb up the gym in Bloomington. Now, what I'm getting to is that my ability rock climbing is not like them. There's no way. I mean, I can climb, but Tim's just, you know, he's ripped in this, and he's, you know, he's going to be able to do it. Matthew's been working out and climbed mountains, so there's no way my ability is going to be worth anything. I can still go up that wall, and it's not my ability that I think about. I'm very cognizant of the fact that my ability is downright dangerous on that wall, and one thing about gravity is it works, and you will fall. And so what I think about when I'm on that wall and I'm hanging there 30 feet up is I'm not thinking about my ability. I'm thinking about that bolt that's in the wall, and I'm thinking about the person that put that bolt in the wall, and my confidence is in the fact that that person that did that knew what the heck they were doing and that that bolt is not coming out of the wall. So I'm trusting in something else that somebody else did. And in our life, when we have to deal with challenges and difficulties and issues, we're trusting in what God has said and what God has done, and we're saying, God, this is the right thing, this is the right way, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to follow you, and you have never failed, and you never will. And we put our hope in those things, and we learn to trust God. That's the key. Learn to trust God. Where do you need to trust God? In your life right now, where do you need to trust God? Where do you need to just give it to God? And you need to say, God, I'm not trusting you in this area. I'm stumbling and falling. I'm being tempted. I'm falling into sin. Or I'm worried. I'm stressed. I have anxieties. Or whatever it is. Those are just red lights like on the dashboard of your car when something's wrong. Just give that to God. Let God be God in your life by you believing and trusting in his promises. Oh, it's powerful. Our God is a good God, and that's what he wants to do. So I pray that he would just open up your hearts and minds because he's working in them. So you would just see him as that mighty and wonderful God that he is. You know, so many people, I'm sure Mary and Joseph, when they look back on the situation, they would not have traded it for the world. I think when they look back on it, they would have said, yeah, this was hard. This is the most difficult thing that we have ever done in our lives. But man, they would have been comparing notes, and they would have gone, remember when God got us through that? Remember when we got to the inn and we didn't know where we were going to go? We didn't know how it was going to work out, and he worked that out. Remember when we lost Jesus in Jerusalem and we didn't know what was going on, and then we found him? And they would have all this whole catalog of lists. Mary, in fact, as a testimony of faith, kept track of them all. And she treasured them in her heart. Why did she treasure them in her heart? Because they created faith and sustained faith within her, and we should do the same. As the end result, you become a testimony of the grace and commitment that God has made to you in Christ. May God bless you and strengthen you in that faith. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord God, draw us to stand in faith on your promises. Lord, let that just inspire us to follow you, to faithfully follow you. Lord, to let you work that faith in our families, in our workplaces, in our church, in every way. Lord, let us just be a shining example of you working in us. Bless us, Lord. Encourage us. Give us opportunities to serve and just reflect who you are. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the goodness of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.